Video I want you to see, or we want you to see.
That have different So the question is, what's your legacy? Which one do you want to leave? So I have some sheets for those of you that would be interested. There's a seminar coming next weekend. It won't be here at Potter's, but it'll be at the Haines Community Church. And there'll be some sheets on the food table at the back after service. So if you want to get those and learn a little bit more about it, they'll be there. There's a couple of us who've been going through the financial teaching that have some money set aside. If you can't afford the fee for it, come speak with myself or Stan about that, and we can try and help you with that fee. And is that about it, Stan? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. It's something that intrigues you or interests you, and you think that might be beneficial. It's finance, about finances, but it's more than finance. It's about passing a blessing on to your family, to your children and your grandchildren. It's really good material. It's very biblical. And I guess just kind of reiterating what Chad said, if you can't afford it, we'll try to find a way. I think there's 7 openings. Is that correct, Chad? There's still 7 left. All right. Thank you. That little commercial was for your benefit. Hey, it's good to be here. It's good to see so many of you come. Thank God for cloudy, rainy days. And it's good to come to church and join with God's people and worship Him. Today, there's a lot of things happening in our service, so we're just going to keep going here. I want to invite Gertie and at least one, maybe 2 of her grandkids are going to come up and tell us a little bit about a mission trip that they're going on to Kenya. Gertie has been, yeah, that's good. Welcome. Welcome. Hey, good to see you, man. Yeah, good to see you. So Gertie's been a pillar among us for a long, long time, and I've been thanking God so much that you are in such good health that you can do this. We're going to keep praying for you. We love you. So good. So you guys want to just stand up here? I'll get you a mic. Sure. Smart Alec.
I am so very, very proud to be here to introduce my 2 of my favorite grandsons. And so very, very proud that I get to go with them. I get to take them to Kenya. How about that? And so, yeah, I'm going to let them share a little bit about what the mission's about, and then I'll just end up with running and hiding.
Yeah, Grandma was really nervous this morning getting ready for this. So you're doing good so far. Yeah. I have kind of come into contact with an organization in Kenya. They're called Living Positive Kenya. So there's a lady in Nairobi, Kenya, in a slum in Nairobi. Her name is Mary. And she's kind of living a parallel life, I'd say, to Gertie here in Red Deer. And they're very similar people. And so I'm really excited for these 2 ladies to meet and, you know, join forces. So I was just telling Grandma a little bit about what I was going to do in Kenya. And then she kind of took a moment and just got silent for a second and then pretty much said, yeah, I'm coming with you. I was like, oh. And she's telling people that we twisted her arm to get her to come, but no. I just kind of, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she wants you to think that we twisted her arm, but yeah, we didn't. So I've got some photos. I don't know. I opened a page there in the back. I don't know if we can get that up, just to give you guys some context about where we're going. So yeah, while I'm talking, you guys can just scroll through any photos that are there. So 2 kind of things that I'm really excited about. First of all, we're not going really as any kind of organization. It's basically just a club at my University of Calgary that has been supporting this organization. And this lady, Mary, she basically was taking care of orphans in this slum in Kenya and then wanted to know where all the moms were, and so decided to start focusing on the moms and who had been hiding kind of through social stigma, had been hiding because of their HIV positive status. And so she's been focusing on the mums. She kind of quit her job, sold everything she had, and she just started feeding these mums. And now it's turned into a bit of a movement where it's an 18-month program where the women start with kind of spiritual, emotional healing, move into health so they can get the medication they need. And then the last third of their program is economic empowerment, so learning a small skill and then at the end having a graduation where they can receive a small business grant and get going still with the support of that community. So it's a very holistic approach. And I think the thing that I'm very excited about, or the thing that I'm passionate about, because what I studied in university was international development. And what makes me excited is when kind of the poor are the ones championing their own development, or when, you know, yesterday we showed up to the soup kitchen and we walked out with $800. You know, it's this idea of the God kind of taking the way we think will kind of meet these needs in the world, and he'll turn that on its head, and he'll make you understand that it's not you, that he can kind of do it in a way that's totally unheard of, you know, just to show how great he is. So even just being here this weekend has been amazing, I think, kind of getting me excited again. Just Calgary's really busy in life there, but I needed to take this weekend just to, so yeah, it's an amazing city. And so, yeah, getting back on track, this is a Kenyan organization that is kind of meeting this need within their own community. And we're planning on shooting a documentary there. So we have a film team coming, and Ethan is, you know, planning to study film. So he'll tell a little bit more about the documentary piece about it. But, you know, we want to just expose the reality of local people taking care of development in their own communities. And we hope to not be in the documentary at all. And so when we come back, we'll be able to share that with you. So I'll pass it on to Ethan to explain a little bit about that.
Hey, guys. Yeah, as Jared mentioned, we're doing a documentary out there. And to make a documentary, there's like a lot of equipment that we need, more than I originally thought when he brought it up. But yeah, and experience. And I definitely lack that for sure. But yeah, me and another film student that is also coming, she was in her first year, just finished her first year, and we wanted to make a fundraiser online to get that equipment. And we were really blessed to get how much we did, but we didn't get halfway to our goal yet. Like, we only got a couple grand, but yeah, we were really blessed to get that. Unfortunately, we did need a lot more. But yeah, our friend Andrea, who's also coming with us, has a friend that lives in Argentina. His name's Julian. And he's a cinematographer. He does that for work. And Andrea asked him if he'd want to come. And he had, it was a maybe for him. He wasn't sure if he could move work around. But in and out to work out. So it's great. He's coming with us now. And now we have all the equipment. So that's a blessing, and the experience. So I'm going to be learning a lot from him. And we're really glad he's coming with us. I think we couldn't be all more terrified. but no, we're definitely more excited for this. Me, Gertie. Yeah. Right here is the worst part, so I'm getting it done. me, Gertie, and Ingrid, another friend of mine that's in film school, we're going Tuesday. And we're going 2 weeks before everyone else goes. And kind of our goal with that is, in order to make this documentary, we really do need to create a relationship with the ladies. And that's kind of the first step. That's the transition into the filming part. And I'm kind of nervous about that, but I'm really excited about that. There is a language barrier, but we're going to have translators. I'm really thankful for that. I just hope that we can keep an open heart and open mind for these ladies. Find a way to connect with them for sure. I'm really excited for that. And that's what I got to say about that.
I'm so proud of these guys and so proud to be able to go with them. But they asked me, they didn't twist my arm, but they asked me. And it started because my brother over here on Mother's Day, can't pronounce your name again, but I love you, but prayed for me in that morning that we had prayer for the double mantle. And the boys came out that day and they asked if I would go with them. And I said, it was just like that. It's been like that ever since. But it really started back with when Stan and family got back from Kenya. That was quite a few years ago. And I said, I would sure like to do that. And you said, well, maybe that's a possibility. And it was just kind of left there. And but I just thought the other day, wow, this possibility is really happening. And but it's all because of Jesus. And I like to write quotes or little things that I see, and I read it this morning. It was, may I never lose the wonder. May I never lose my wonder. With wide eyes and starry eyes to gaze upon the beauty of my Jesus. And that's my prayer. This is part of it. And to be able to go and gaze on the beauty of my Savior in a country and on these women and their children, that's what I'm looking forward to. To see Jesus at work and loving and healing people. And I don't know what I'll be doing. It doesn't matter if I can be used in any way at all.
Amen.
But I know I'm going, I'm on a learning path, and I never want to stop.
Thank you.
And
Jesus.
So I'm
Thank
so
you,
thankful Jesus. For my church and my people here and these guys. So thanks, you guys.
Okay, so there's three things that come to mind. First is I'm a little worried about that white rabbit.
That's for dinner.
Secondly, I would like to have our leaders come forward so we can pray for you. So all the leadership team who are here want to come up and have a couple of them pray for you. And the third thing is there will be these little white buckets. If you feel inclined that you want to give 5 or 10 or 20 or something, it's a free will offering. You're welcome to do that. And they're going to be just sitting on the steps here after the service, okay? So I wonder if Norma and if Tim, if you would pray just that we send these folks out and we acknowledge that they are going, because this is a mission that God sends them on, that God gives them health and safety, and that there's just great opportunities and a lot of lives are going to be touched in Jesus' name.
Father God, what a wonderful opportunity that you are working through these people. To take them into such a wonderful, wonderful world that needs the help, that needs the support. Father, I learned last night that when Jesus was on the earth, he was in a very small area, and his ministry was in a small area. And when he went to heaven, the precious Holy Spirit came back and dwelt in each one of us, that we might take the world, not we might take your word, not from a small place, but to the whole world, that nothing is limited to a small area, that you, Father, this is so exciting. Every little bit helps. Every little bit grows. And as Craig Hill said, Father God, the seeds that are planted are going to be extrapolated. And Father, I ask for your special anointing, special blessing.
Yes,
as they walk in obedience, Father God, you're already ahead of them, and you know what you wish to accomplish.
Hallelujah.
And thank you for that, Lord. Jesus. Amen.
Can I get you just the three of you just to join one hand together? Father, I just thank you for this blessing that's standing before me right now, a grandmother and two grandsons. And there's power in generations. And Father, we know that in the church that sometimes it's hard for one generation to understand another generation. But Lord, you want to bring the generations together. And you're doing this right here. And there is tremendous power and anointing in that. So, Father, I pray we just send them out, Lord, with your blessing upon them, Father God. And we pray as they go over to Kenya, Lord Jesus, that some of the brokenness that they'll see there, that, Father, that you would use them to mend any gaps in generations there. That, Father, that there would be healing of some generations over there, Father God. That, Lord, that we ask that your protection would be over them. We ask them that your peace would be over them. And Father, I just pray that there'd be those of us there that would keep them in remembrance, Father, and intercede for them.
Man.
And we are so excited, Father God, to send them out, as it were, into the nations.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, Father, thank you that we can be a part of their ministry over there by just knowing them and lifting them up to you this morning. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. I love you so much. Okay, that's good. Carrying on with that same theme of missions and how we have that amazing calling that God gives us, and it's why we have the Holy Spirit, is so that we actually go out, you know, and do something with Him, and we proclaim and teach and show the world that there's a Savior. Just in keeping with that theme, I'm going to ask Joycelyn to come up. Is she here? She was here. There she is. And Marilise, you're going to camp as well, right? Would you? It's okay. That's okay. It doesn't matter. I don't know if there's anyone else going to Camp Living Water. I think there's the two of you right now. I know you're not going quite yet. Oh, come on up here. Tristan, there you go.
Tristan will come with me.
Yeah. All right, you see? By next week, there might be four or five. So we want to send you guys off, too. I want to pray for you, and I know you're going to be involved. For those of you who don't know, this is a camp that Pastor Larry Keekstra has done for many, many years. It's a camp that mostly is involved with Native children all throughout. There's camps both in Alberta and in BC, but you guys are going to be at the Camp Living Water here, right? So
I'm in BC.
You're in BC, whatever, okay. God knows where you are. So, but anyways, it's a very important ministry because it changes the lives of so many of these young Native teenage children, and they live with such hopelessness. They live with such broken families and just such hard things in their lives. So we're just praying for these three that there's going to be a great advance in the kingdom of God, and that many lives are going to be touched. And that this too will be generational. That, and we've seen this happen, that there's changes that happen in these teenagers' lives, and they go home, and suddenly there's changes starting to happen in the lives of the chiefs and of the elders and of the mothers and fathers of these kids too. So join me in prayer. Let's pray together. God, you are sovereign. You're the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And we just go because you tell us to go. We want to be obedient. And that's true for Marilise and for Joycelyn and for Tristan. They want to be obedient. They want to follow you. And today, we commit these three to you and pray that you empower them with your Holy Spirit, that you would give them the words, that you'd give them the patience, give them kindness and gentleness. Times when they're frustrated and when they want to get angry, that you'll give them just a calm and that your sweet spirit will flow from them. I thank you, God. I know this is going to change them as well, and we welcome that change. As you continue to shape and mold us as the potter, the great potter that you are. And God, we pray for Larry Keekstra and for the ministry that he's involved in and all the hard work he does, that there will be great fruit this year, that there will be many, many, even in the hundreds, who give their lives to you. Because, Lord, every week there's sometimes 100 kids that are going to these camps, that they will bow the knee, that they will confess in their mouths or with their mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised them from the dead. And that they will experience the salvation of our great King. And so we just commit this to you. We send them out, Lord. We do this on purpose. We do this deliberately. We make a point of it because these three need to be led by your Spirit. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be a bumpy road. But you're all there. You're all there. And we just pray for your blessing and your mercy and your grace to be upon them. In Jesus' name and for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. God bless you guys.
And I just want to say, and I pray that all the seeds that are planted will become a huge divine harvest. In Christ amen. Jesus, amen.
That's really good, Marilise, because I didn't expect you to sit down without saying something. And it's always from God, and it's always about prayer and about, come on, you know, we have faith. Let's do what God calls us to do. I like that. Amen. Hi, Bobby.
There ain't nothing I'm afraid to do anymore.
Okay. So we're going to turn our Bibles now to Revelation. Open your Bible with me, and we've been looking at this for the last number of weeks. And this is probably the last time, at least. I think God's saying, okay, we're getting near the end of this. But just such a powerful Word of God about how we need the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and that when we do that, we're able to overcome the enemy, that we overcome him, we overcome the attack in our lives. And I'm sure that there's many of us that know what that's like. A lot of us have undergone some of that attack. Maybe some of you just recently. There's always some, seems like there's always the enemy trying to do something, right? The Bible says he steals and he kills and he destroys. And we've experienced that. There's hard things that we go through. And even in our leadership meeting yesterday, we were talking about that and praying for the congregation, praying for each other, and praying because there's a lot going on. You know, there's been a lot of hard things, and I kind of look at some of your faces, and I know some of the places where you've been. I know that there have been some really difficult things going on in your lives. Sometimes it's a problem with our children, or a problem in our marriage, or a problem with our health. And it just, sometimes there's just not a whole lot that we, or that I, you know, can say. You can't make it better. Except that we keep encouraging each other. We keep reminding each other that our Jesus is in control. That he watches over the Sunnies, and he watches over the Tims. He watches over the Stans and the Carolins. He watches over us, and he has not forgotten you. And he gives us the power to overcome. It doesn't mean that it's all easy. It doesn't mean that the road gets so smooth that, you know, we're just sailing like crazy. It's in the struggle that we get to know him even better. And I just want to remind you that today, that all hope is not lost, because our hope is in Jesus. And that's all. Not only is that all we have, but that's all we need. So just reading these words one more time. From Revelation 12, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Revelation 12, verse 10, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Amen? So the key verse here has always been verse 11, but it struck me this week that we only say half of it, and that we really ought to say the whole thing. That they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And remember, this was written to a whole bunch of churches that were, at this point, when this revelation was written down, there are many of those churches were suffering great martyrdom and great persecution. It didn't happen immediately after Jesus went up into heaven, but it wasn't very long. It was maybe 20 years later that some of that persecution and some of that death started to happen, that they were being put to death. Christians were being put to death by the thousands through some emperors like Nero and Diocletian and others because of their faith. They stood up for God. And it's a question, I guess, today. And it's one of those questions we don't like to ask, and we don't even know how to answer it sometimes, is, well, what about us? Would we be willing to die for the kingdom of God? Am I willing to not love my life so much that I wouldn't shrink from death? And before I kind of get into it, I just want to say one thing about that, because you might be wondering about it. I think that, I believe this, that clearly, if we ever got to that point, and that may happen here, it's happening in lots of other places in the world. There are about 150,000 Christians who get killed every year through martyrdom. If that ever happened here, and we could ask that question, we wonder, you know, well, what about me? You know, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could die. I know this for true, and I know I've read this from many others who suffered like this, is they say that that power and that strength only comes from God. And we can't answer that question today because we may not be in that situation yet, but we know that it's in our weakness that God gives us the strength. And even though right now it might seem like we would never be able to withstand that, it's amazing what God's Spirit can do when he lives in us. And that happens in many parts of the world. So understand that sort of as a preamble or a preface before we start, that, you know, God gives us that. When we reach that point, When you come to that place in your life where you need to stand up for Christ, and it's maybe your life is a life or death situation, that if you do stand up for Christ, it's only because he gives you that power and that strength to do so. Amen? Okay, let's just pray a minute. God needs you right now. And the enemy's been trying to war against us and battle and all that stuff. So we put all that behind us, and we need to hear about you, Jesus, and your word and what you challenge us with today. So I thank you, God, that you're faithful, and we pray that your word would speak real clearly today. We want to be lovers of truth and doers of truth. So, Lord, your truth today, just let it rise to the surface and into our hearts, that we know that this word is yours. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. The power and the authority that is ours because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of our testimony is a power and authority that we should be using for one specific reason, one specific goal. And that goal and that reason is to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people who don't know him. Let's start with that. The power that we have and the authority that we've been given and that we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks or more is really so that we can help people who don't know Christ and we can share what we have in our lives. The testimony that I have is a testimony of being brought from darkness into light and that I once was lost and I'm found now. And so it's not just a power and authority that just stands on its own for no good reason, but it's an authority and a power that we have. It's a testimony that God's given you so that you tell the world about Jesus, right? Recognizing that there's all kinds of people out there who are lost and they don't know Christ. They need him. They are lost in their sin. There's no hope inside of them, and that the way God works is that he works by including us and using us and saying, hey, I want to team up with you. I'm going to empower you with my Holy Spirit. The reason why I give you the Holy Spirit is so that you tell your neighbor and you tell your friend and you find those people who are lost and you show them that the grace is sufficient for them too. Amen? So the authority always goes along with the story that is intended, not just for us. I don't just keep the story to myself. You know, every night I tell myself the story. Man, I'm so saved by grace, you know. Tell myself the story about all the things that happened in my life. No, he gave me this story so that I could share it. He gave the story to you so you could share it. And there are still people being saved. There are still lost people, so many of them, who need to know Jesus Christ. And how will they hear unless someone preaches? How will they change unless someone tells them that they can change by the power of the Holy Spirit in God, in their lives? Amen? Yeah. So it fits in with the rest of the service that we've already enjoyed, you know, with these three who stood up and are going to go to Kenya and the other three that are going to go to Camp Living Water. It's about the Holy Spirit sending us out. In the two most important passages about the Holy Spirit, it's all about mission or evangelism. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now you, therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations. It's about making disciples, he said in Matthew 28. And in Acts chapter 1, man, am I the only one dry here? In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, he says, all power has been given, you know, to you. Why? So that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and the ends of the earth. So, yeah. So that's the point, right? The point is that we've been given this for the purpose of shining our lights and for being strong in the testimony that God has given us. And John, in his vision and in his book that he wrote, The Revelation, talks about how, you know, the ones who were in the early church, they didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death, he says. That's quite a statement, don't you think? I don't know about you, but that kind of hits me right there. You, right? They didn't love their lives. Well, we live in a world where everyone loves their lives. There's nothing more important than my life. And there's nothing more personal than my life. And everyone thinks, well, this is my life. Don't tell me what to do. It's my life. Right? Don't judge me. I'll live it the way I feel like living it. Living la vida loca. Living the crazy life, right? Or however you want to talk about it. Right? This is my life. You know, leave me alone. I'll do what I feel like doing. And if it kills me, it's my business, not yours. This is my life. I'm going to live in the good life, right? Freedom 55, right? Or whatever it is. But the reality is, that might be the philosophy, that might be the teaching of the world, but the teaching of God's scriptures is that this is not your life, that this my life belongs to God. That when I invited Jesus Christ into my heart, I gave myself over to him and I died to myself. And because I'm covered now with his blood, I belong to him. The Heidelberg Catechism says, I am not my own. I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, I know. Now he's quoting the catechism. But there's some good stuff in there, you know? And I am not my own. I belong. My life isn't even mine anymore. And so that's something from the world. The world says, man, there's nothing more important than these 80 years. Hang on to them. Enjoy them. Enhance them. Pamper yourself. Have a pedicure. You know, go to Mexico in the wintertime. This is your life. Enjoy it. Come on. Live it. Live it. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong except the pedicure. But the point is that this isn't what Jesus said. He said, you know, your life, what you do is you trade it in and you need to die to yourself. Let me show you just a couple of verses about that. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me. You hear that? I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Amen? Yeah. We make that proclamation with him. And then back in 2 Corinthians 5, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Did you hear that? Those who live, if you really live, if you've got the abundant life, if you're filled with the life of the Holy Spirit, you don't live for yourself, but you live for him. They no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Amen? Amen. Amen. And one other one. In Luke, or in Matthew, I should say, when Jesus was, this is just shortly before Jesus went to the cross, he said, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And that's what God's word really says. So whoever finds his life will lose it. And if you lose your life for his sake, you will find it, God says in his word, right? Am I doing something wrong? Okay, good. So I hope that's clear that we have given our lives over. So, and that's such a different thing than what you're going to hear in the world. In the world, what you're going to hear is that everything is about you. It's your life. You do whatever you feel like doing. Live it whichever way you feel like living it. Pamper yourself. Spend it all on yourself. Do whatever you like because it's your life. And when you're 80, you're going to die. And the reality is that for people like that, and I've just been dealing with this, so this is kind of fresh in my life, but for people like that who don't know Christ, death is such a dismal, inconsolable thing. If you don't know Christ, if you think all you have is these 80 or 85 years, then there, you know, you don't know what to do when someone dies in your life, or when, especially if it's someone young or something that's really tragic. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. There's no comfort. There's no consolation. There's no answers. And there are people, many, many people like that out there, because all that matters is these 80 years, and they don't realize that there's so much more that God has for them. They don't realize that, and this is how I feel, I know probably how many of you feel, that this life, man, this is just a drop in a bucket. This is just the beginning. This is the life that is sin-ridden or riddled, and one day soon, I'm going to be with the Lord, and I'm going to live with him forever and ever. My life doesn't end at 80. Right? Amen. I got so much more I want to tell the world, right? It's not about how many times you inhale and exhale in this life. That when I die, that's just a portal. That's a window. It's a transition into a life that's going to go on and 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 on forever and ever with my eternal King, Jesus Christ. Amen. And there'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more AIDS. There'll be no more divorce. There'll be no more brokenness. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more weeping. There'll be no more crack cocaine. There'll be no more. There'll be none of it. None of it. Because we're going to reign, it says, right? Going to reign with him forever and forever and forever. So here's a message. If you're wondering, you know, what I said earlier about how you've got to be an evangelist. You've got to get out there. You got a story to tell. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to say. I'm too shy. I'm too afraid. Well, just tell them about how they can live forever, right? Just give them that spiel that I just gave you. And the good thing is it's not a spiel, it's really the truth. That here's a way that death is just a window. It's not a door. It's not closed. You go through it and you're going to live forever and ever with your Creator, with the one who made you. Amen. So because of that, we're willing to sacrifice. And this is really the theme and what really the revelation is talking about. It's about offering ourselves to God, even to the extent that we're willing to lay down our lives, that we don't hold on to our lives so tightly, that our lives become more important than Jesus. Because when that happens, that's a problem. And understanding this as well, our motivation. Why would we do that? Why would anyone die for the cause of Christ? And there's only one good answer to that question. Because we love Jesus. That's it. We're willing to lay our lives down simply because I love Jesus and I just want to serve him. And it's important to recognize that because some religions out there have all kinds of other reasons why people might lay down their lives or why they might even take their own lives and maybe take a whole bunch of other lives with them. And none of those things are about love. Right? And even some Christians might think, well, I will lay down my life and then for sure I'll get into heaven. And they are for sure wrong. Because you don't get into heaven just because you lay down your life. You don't get extra points. You know, oh, there's God going, hey, lay down his life. Good for him. I'll make sure he gets into heaven. That's not how you get into heaven. You get into heaven one way, and it's by grace. I keep telling you this, right? And you know it. We're saved by grace through faith. There's only one way that you're saved. And even if you die, even if they burn your body, the Bible says, even if you're at the stake and they burn your body, it's worth nothing unless it's in the context of love. So we do this for one reason. We sacrifice not just our lives, but all the parts of our lives as well. We sacrifice those things because I love Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is my Savior, and he's precious to me, and I want to live a life that's pleasing to him. Now that's different from what we hear these days of, you know, some Islamic extremists, right? And there it's more of a religious thing, and there's promises that are made to these individuals who maybe take many lives with them and think that they're doing such a great thing for the cause of their God, but they're wrong. And they think, and they believe, that by doing this, they're going to gain this great paradise, right? I'm saying that's not happening here. We don't do this. We follow Christ because we love Christ. We are willing to even lay down our lives for Christ for one reason. It's love, but it's not for 70 virgins. Which, by the way, is probably not all what it's trumped up to be. Having 70 virgins, I didn't make this up, this is what they say, but having 70 virgins sounds like a really good plan till about 6 months in. And then you wonder, you know, is this really heaven or not? Right? I mean, you got to think this through a little bit because there's 70 names you got to remember. And 70 birthdays, and 70, you know, you just imagine all the hair products that are going to be on the bathroom counter, right? And there's always one of them wanting to sit in the front seat. Who's going to get that opportunity? And, you know, I'm not going to deal with this too long, but... but there's also, if you have 70 virgins, I'm just saying, I think this is something that maybe isn't quite as good as it sounds at first. But if you have 70 virgins, they've all got moms, and they all want to come over to visit. Seriously, now. The point is this. This is different. This is not religion. This is true Christ relationship, that what we do out of love. I love Jesus, and I'm willing to lay down all kinds of things for him, including my life. Amen? Amen. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death, God says in his word. And many of them did. Many of them gave up their lives for Christ. And they learned something that we would do well to learn today, and that is simply that there are things that are way worse than death. The death, that's what the world says. The world says death is the worst thing that can ever happen to you. That's not true for those of us who are believers. Amen. Death is, there are things far worse than death. Not serving Jesus Christ with all of my heart is worse than death. Not living life is, not really living life, not living life abundantly, not using the gifts that God has given me to build his kingdom is worse than death. Really, it is. Death is not, he's an enemy. Death is an enemy that's been defeated. You get that? It is a defeated enemy in my life. Yes, I'm going to die, but I'm going to reign with Christ forever. Right? We don't need to be afraid of death. You can clap. We don't need to be afraid of death. We don't. Because Christ Jesus has overcome death. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He stepped out of the dead and he said, I have conquered death. And it means, what he really means is not just that he conquered death, but I've conquered death for you. You get to transcend this life. You get to live forever. Your sins are forgiven. You're washed in the blood and you're going to live with me forever. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. And when I die, I've always felt this way, but I hope my last breath is just a sigh. Just a sigh of relief and of knowing that it's done. And that I pray that it's been a faithful life lived to give him glory. And so, it's a hard question. They didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. How about us? Well, that's a tough question. Because we don't have anyone with a sword. We don't have anyone chopping off heads here in this country. But one thing that does strike me is that, you know, there's sometimes, and bear with me here, but sometimes we get so caught up in the church today. I'm talking about the Western church. We're so caught up with the petty, inconsequential, and the selfish things where we're always mad at each other, where we're fighting, we're mad about how loud the music is or what the color of the carpet is. This is what happens in the church so much today. They were so up in arms about such little, immature, inconsequential things. Now you wonder what really would happen if there was an Islamic sword on our shoulder, right? Like, it's really hard to say, I'm willing to die with you. I would die for you, Jesus, if we can't even live with each other. Isn't that true? And remember Peter. Remember Peter. Peter said to Jesus, you know, the night before he was betrayed, he says, Lord, because Jesus said, the Son of Man needs to go. The Son of Man is going to be crucified. He's going to die for you. And Peter stood up. He says, Lord, I'm willing to go to prison for you, and I'm willing to die for you. But he 2 days later or a day later, he was denying him 3 times. Right? It's easy to stand up and say, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. Man, I'll do anything for you. I'll go to prison for you. They can knock off my head. I don't care. And that there's one thing that Jesus said to Peter when he saw him after the resurrection. There was one question that he asked him. Peter, do you love me? Right? You get this? This is why we're talking about love. Peter, do you love me? Because that's all that matters. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Can you say that today? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. You know I love you, Jesus. Maybe today, the requirement isn't your life. Maybe it's your time. It's pretty hard to say, God, I would die for you, but I don't have any time for you. Right? I mean, we should maybe start a little bit, you know, back up a little bit and say, let's start to do some of the easier things first, and then we'll get to the part where we're willing to lay our lives down. God says, I need some time for you. And we go, oh, I'm pretty busy. I don't have time for that. Well, I've given you some gifts. How about if you use some of the talents I've given you? If you can't give me your talents, then you certainly aren't going to give me your life if that's required of you. And we go, well, but I got lots going on, and I got little kids, and I got a job, and I got a business I'm running. Yes, I have some talents, and you've given me some gifts of the Spirit, but I really, at this point, I can't help you out. Are you hearing that? Or even money. And you know I don't talk about money much, but money is a part of our lives. Money captivates us, sometimes controls us. Sometimes we spend too much time thinking about it. And again, it's the same sort of thing. If you're unwilling to give him the portion of your money, the portion that he's already given you, and you say, well, I'm going to withhold that, then is it really? Can you really say, but I'm willing to die for you, Jesus? I'll die for you, but don't ask me to open up my wallet. Right? Or how about your image? I remember being in high school, I had an image. I don't have one anymore. But you know what it's like, you're an image, you got an image, you're in high school, you want to be cool, you want everyone to think that you're cool. You want to be part of the crowd, you want to talk like the crowd, you want to use the language of the crowd, you want to do the stuff that the crowd is doing. Some of you are still doing that, by the way, and you're in your 40s. It's one thing to do that when you're 16, you know, but are we willing to give up that image? Will you die? Will you die to that image? Will you stand up for Jesus and say, you know what, I'm just going to stand up for you, Jesus, and I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what my peers think. I'm going to tell everyone around me that I love Jesus. I just simply love Jesus. Because that's the message. It really isn't about, you know, we're not even close to being ready to lay down our lives if we're not ready to lay down our time and our money and our image and what people think of us. And if we're not ready to start telling people about Jesus Christ. And man, you guys have such good stories. You don't even know it. You have such a great story of redemption in your lives. If we're not ready to tell that story and share it with the world and tell people what Jesus has done and how he's changed me and how he's saved me from sin and how he's brought me out of darkness into life, if we're not ready to do that, then we are not ready to lay down our lives. We're still holding on to something else. You understand? Are you hearing this? Yeah. Yesterday, at our leadership meeting, we had a really great cry together. We just cried and we're sad about some hard things that are going on in some of your lives, and honestly, some of our lives, if we're honest, some of our own leadership, some of the ways that we're under attack. And we just spent, I don't think it was planned, it wasn't part of our agenda. But Barb started crying, and then I cried, and then Crystal cried, or she was probably crying before, and pretty much all of us had tears in our eyes as we shared some of the hard things that are going on and some of the attack of the enemy and the recognition that it's so hard sometimes to stand up for Jesus and that there's sacrifice involved. We need to sacrifice. It's just, I don't know. Lately, I've been going to the hospital like every second day because there's six or seven people in there, and I said to Crystal, just got to quit. Like, just about when the time when I think we're going to get down to three or four, there's two more going in, and I don't know what to do. Because there's such a helpless feeling, except that God knows. And little by little, he keeps doing what he does. But there's so much hurt in this world, and in you, and in us. And so many things that are broken, and I just, it doesn't do us any good to lie about that, right? We wear those masks. How are you doing? I'm fine, right? I don't know who's worse, the person who says they're fine or the person who says, how you doing? Because the reality is a person who says, how you doing, doesn't want to know. Isn't that true? We don't really want to know. How you doing? Fine, good. You know, and then we say things like, well, I'll pray for you. Yeah, okay, well, I'll pray for you. And we don't really do that. We don't pray very well. If we do, it's like, I got a list. I do this myself. We've got a list of 20 people. So be with you. And, you know, we're not really praying. We're not really concerting our efforts in prayer. Anyways, I'm off track here. But we spent, you know, a while just praying and crying and grieving, you know, thinking of Janet, thinking about your daughter who's there in the hospital without a hip and in such ill health. And other people too, so many others, so many hard things. And then and Barb actually brought a CD with a song on it. And she just said, God told me to bring this, and I really feel like we need to hear this. So I'm going to play this in a minute. Are you about ready for that, Ryan? Okay, just one second. So we listened to this, and we just felt the presence of God. We felt his encouragement where he says, keep at it. Don't quit. Trust me. You hear that? The wind and waves still know his name. Trust me. Don't be afraid, Gaston. Don't be afraid. God's got your life in his hand. Don't be afraid, Tim. You're back on the roll, and it's good. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that what might happen. We don't know what might happen. Don't be afraid. The wind and waves still know his name. And so we listen to this song. I want you to listen to it today as we conclude this message. And it's an old Robin Marx song, Jesus is All for Jesus. And what I want to ask you to do is this today. The Holy Spirit convicts us through the Word of God. I said that last week. You know we have truth because we have those two pillars. We have the truth and we have the Word of truth. We have the Spirit of God. Jesus said, true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. You know the truth. And if you're listening to God's Spirit today and he's saying to you, it's time that you laid something down, then today's the day to do that. Maybe you've got to lay down your finances. Maybe you've got to let go a little bit of your time. Maybe you've got to let go of your ego or your image, whatever it is. Maybe there's something happening in your life. There's a relationship that needs to be restored, or you're full of anger because of something. Let it go. I surrender it to Jesus. All of my hopes and plans, all of my ambitions, I give it to you. If you feel the need to come to the front, you want to lean or kneel on the steps, or if you want to get on the ground and just get on your chair and pray to God, I invite you. Or you want to just stay in your chair and do this, that's good. Or if you want to do a shampoo prayer where people do that, you can do whatever you want to do, but just listen to God today. Would you play that, please? Amen. Can we do that one more time? Let's all stand up. I was going to do a different song, but this is the right one. Let's stand up. Let's make this our declaration today. All for Jesus. Whatever it is that you need to lay down, He's ready to take it from you. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, just like you said on the cross, into your hands, we commit our lives. We commit our spirit, our soul, our body, our lives. We commit our lives to you. Into your hands, we trust you. And in whatever way today, you are challenging us to lay something down or to surrender it. Maybe it's our worries or our fears or our reputation or our money or our time or our talents, whatever. We just lay it down. Help us, God. Help us to deal with the pain of today, with the tragedy and the awful things that are happening in some of our lives, and to keep trusting you. Now, we don't turn our heads, don't turn our faces anywhere but to you. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help is in the name of the Lord. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We turn to you, God. Thank you for the reality of your spirit in our lives. And thank you that we're part of a body that loves us and that prays for us and cares. Grow us up into the church you want us to be. Thank you for this service and this time. And as we now enjoy some chili together, bless that food and give us great fellowship, and that we give tangible encouragement and love to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.